Introducing the ultimate seat cover, Tiger Tough. Proudly made in the US of A, waterproof and backed by an unconditional warranty. Yes, you heard it right. 2 years on vehicles and a lifetime guarantee on heavy equipment, they have you covered for manufacturer defects, normal wear and tear, and even those oh shit moments. Tiger Tough covers are meticulously crafted for a perfect fit with over 30,000 pre-fit designs, ensuring they stay in place without any shifting or sliding. Plus, they're even machine washable. Don't settle for less. Get a seat cover today that's built to last. Order today at tigertough.com/dirt. Get a free logo embroidery on your first order if you use the code DIRTBAG at checkout. Once received, show us your new badass seat covers with your logo and tag us. Experience durability and quality with Tiger Tough seat covers. Toughness guaranteed.
All right, what's up, you dirtbags? We have a very special episode because Mr. Luke Payne is back in studio. How are we doing, dude?
I have abandoned you this last month, Luke. We have been balls to the walls and just getting kicked in the nuts, kicked in the knees. But we're getting back up. We're here. So
hell yeah, dude.
Sorry for the leave of absence.
No problem, dude. I was just talking with you about it, too. I was so stoked for this episode because I feel like we're going to catch up on the episode as well with each other because people think you and I talk all the time. Yep. And we just catch up during the podcast while we hit record. So it'll be fun to kind of catch up with you guys, with where you're at in business and everything. And obviously we knew this in the winter, the summers are going to be crazy for you. So we tried to bank up some episodes and then those quickly got published out because we couldn't hold on to them too long. And so then we came up with the new Dirt Tales segment, which that's been a ton of fun.
You came up with the new Dirt Tales, which is a great idea, by the way. Don't give me any credit for that. You're like, hey, what are your thoughts on this? I'm like, absolutely, Luke. Please do. So that's on you. I can't even take any credit.
It's been awesome, though, and great, just a different format. And so, for people listening, like, go check those out. And there'll be more coming out and a lot more frequent. So we're picking up the frequency, but definitely more story-based, which is kind of fun. And I know Luke, typically we like to dive deep into conversation. And then so that segment's just a little lighter, probably easier to listen to, quicker. And so that's been a lot of fun. We just launched one, I guess it would be last Friday, with Anderson Septic, and
it was
supposed to be Dirt Tales, shorter segments. I think it was an hour and a half.
Hell yeah.
So
when there's so much to talk about, who cares? There's no time limit. Just enjoy the conversation.
Absolutely. And so excited for that, but also excited too, just to like, I feel like it brought a lot of weight off both of our shoulders because scheduling is tough. Especially in the summertime. And like, even with my schedule, like I'm gone a lot and I'm traveling doing this. And then with your schedule, and then to think if we have a third person, like a guest, it's a little tricky. So this kind of opens us up to give you guys more content, more episodes, but then also make sure that like we're dialed in, like ready to record. And I'm not even at home right now, but my dad hooked me up with a little studio here.
Shout out Tim.
Yeah. And gave me a beer. So
I was going to ask,
I
saw the NA. I'm like, Luke, is there another challenge that you have that you just haven't let me know about yet? Which there could very well be since we haven't talked in a month.
We haven't caught up yet. So there isn't. But I did just finish up Michael Herman's bachelor party. And honestly, I'm just like,
I don't want anything else to drink.
You know how sometimes you get after like a bachelor party, you kind of rethink your life and you're just like, man, maybe I should give up drinking, or maybe I should dial it in a bit more. And so I had a little bit of that too. And I was like, I see James Doyle, shout out to James with Innovative. He is absolutely crushing it. I think he's 3.5 months in or so giving up socially drinking. And James, correct me if I'm wrong. And I don't want to speak for him, but he wanted to be a better dad, a better husband, and just a better man. And so he's been listening to a lot of Andy Frisella and just like wanting to dial in his business more. So been super pumped to see him and a few other people too, but really just work on themselves. And I was just like, that fires me up when I see other people just trying to better themselves.
That is really cool. It's funny that you say that too, because I was going through Snap today and I saw it was either a Facebook story or a Snap. I can't remember, but he just looked happy.
Yeah.
You know, and normally he's just a very serious guy, and you know, he
Yeah.
smiles. So I'm like, hell yeah, 75 hard, must be doing your thing. But I didn't know about the no drinking. Good for him, or
Yeah.
socially.
So that's been huge. And yeah, so I guess to clear the air, I'm not doing anything like that, but
Neither am I.
it was kind of the only thing in the fridge, so
It's okay. At least it still has the taste, kind of, just doesn't have the
yeah.
effect.
I think there's like 0.5%, so we should feel a little something by the end here.
Yeah. With your blood alcohol levels probably from the weekend, absolutely. You'll be buzzing by 20 minutes here.
We're kind of just rolling right into it, but we golfed. I don't know if you've golfed Longbow in Walker.
Love that course.
Holy shit, dude. Very difficult. I'm not a great golfer, but it was hard.
We used to play that in high school all the time. So I remember that course ate me up. That and Headwaters.
Yeah, I donated a lot of balls in
Yeah.
that
Thanks
trip.
for your service. The clubhouse appreciates it.
Yeah, dude. So how's everything been? I know we're recording this, we're mid-August right now. Do you go to WeFest?
Went to WeFest. Yep. Me and Riley, we ended up going. We were not going to go, but we had a wedding on Thursday. One of my best friends, Max Barta, got married.
Yeah.
So we were up in Brainerd for his wedding on Thursday. Came back Friday, and we were both kind of like, we can't really miss. So
Yeah.
pregnant Riley, she's a trooper, went with me
Wow.
Friday, Saturday. So it was a good time. I mean, subpar on a lot of the headliners, I think,
Yeah.
but it's like tradition, so you can't break tradition, so we had to go.
Right. Yeah,
So it was good.
I kind of heard the exact same thing, and my guess, I don't want to speculate, my guess is they're trying to become more profitable and like having to cut costs somewhere. 'Cause I remember vividly we would go Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. It would be like Toby Keith, Kenny Chesney, and then like Eric Church or like Brad Paisley. And I'm
Yeah.
just like, and this year, and no offense to these guys, but you know, we had Jelly Roll, I think Eric Church, and then Parker McCollum, which is a surprise as headliners.
And those are all like 6 to maybe 8 o'clock shows, in my opinion.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not
My
headliners.
dad said one of them should be a 2:30 show.
Yes. Yeah. And I think I know exactly which one he's talking about. But
Yeah.
there was some good ones, like Ellie King. She was good. I mean,
Yep.
she's kind of trashy, but she's got good music, so.
Yeah, no, that's funny. Numbers I think were down a little
Way down.
bit, maybe. Yeah, way
Way down.
down.
Remember when we were in like
Dude.
early, like high school, late middle school, to where you would drive by the campgrounds and they were absolutely stuffed. Like you
You
could
couldn't
not fit a person
move.
between campers.
Like when you would go from the campgrounds to the bowl,
Yes.
like it took forever just because of the people and the
Because the people.
tunnels.
Yeah. Yeah. It was not like that this year. A lot of campgrounds just open and not even in use. So numbers are way down. So I think they have to get better people and probably
Yeah.
have to pay for those to try to get those people back to hopefully become more profitable. But I don't know the back end side of it. Obviously, they use it once a year. If maybe they were to do different events throughout the year, it could probably help, but I don't know. So
Yeah, dude, that is tough to do like a one of a year at an entire ranch like that.
yeah, no, that's not great. But no, it went there. The gala was this last Thursday, I believe, the 8th, right?
Yep.
How was
Yeah,
that?
August 8th. Dude, it was amazing. So the first year we ever had it, we went to Detroit Mountain. Second year we switched and went to this Home Theater Ballroom, but then third year, this year, we went back to the mountain. We love Detroit Mountain. The ambiance is incredible, the natural light, the windows, everything. And we went back there, and I'm so glad we did. It was amazing. Very similar to the first year, where good amount of people, definitely not too many people. Like we could definitely bring in more people. But this year, and I told the Boys and Girls Club this, I'm like, to put less stress on the event, and I'm never stressed during these, but just like, you know, it is a fundraiser. I'm like, to put less stress on that, I'm going to hit the sponsorships much, much harder. And because I know we can raise support, and a lot of times it's got to come from outside the community. But I was totally okay with that. And so I think last year coming into the fundraiser, we had raised like $7,500 just from sponsors. This year going into it, we had 20 sponsors. I think we had like 20K rolling into the fundraiser. Yeah. And
that's exciting.
So what that does and what that did is like, hey, if we raise $1 tonight, that's $20,000 in one. And like, that is amazing. So everyone went in loose, having fun. The live auction was awesome. Olivia and I won a trip to Boston, or we paid a trip for a trip
I was
to
gonna
Boston.
say, hell yeah. I was like, won a trip. I said, that sounds
No,
kind of rigged,
yeah,
but
we
hell yeah.
actually, kind of funny story, might as well go into it. So there were definitely less people, so I knew the live auction was gonna be tricky. We had three trips that we were auctioning off, Boston, Nashville, and then 8 days in Cabo.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, because usually with Phaser, like, we'll round up to hit a certain number. And I was like, I mean, Liv, it might as well bid on something and win it, because that's going to go into the same pool of like us donating. So,
Absolutely, yeah.
and so she's so funny. Olivia was talking to her dad kind of in the back of the room, and she had our little paddle number, and they're in the Boston trip, and the auctioneer had started way high. So he started at like $3,000, and you know how they come down and like, give me 2,500, give me 2,000, give me 1,500. Somebody start the
And
bidding
they
off.
go
And
up.
so he's at, started at 3,000, and I was kind of far away from Liv because I was a spotter. And then he goes down to 2,500, and I'm like, we got to place the first bid also to kind of
To get
get
the
the
momentum
bidding
going,
started.
yeah.
And I look across the room to Liv, and I kind of give her the one. I'm like, start at 1,000. Let's bid 1,000. And she
Goes up at
puts up
2,500. Hell yeah. Way to go, Liv. Way
puts
to.
up the paddle, and she had no idea. And I was just like, well, at least it's going to charity.
Were you just
So,
like, ah, that's not what I meant, but I
yeah.
can't be
So
mad.
we literally won it on the opening bid, and
That's
nobody
funny.
else hit against it.
Well, at least you won.
Yeah, so we're super pumped. But dude, it was amazing. Like, it's so wild. Like, I'm trying to think of the right way to say this, but it almost makes me speechless every year at the support that we get. And I put this on, I think, our Dirtbag story right before. Like, out of the 20 sponsors we had for our little hometown of 9,000 people, 12 of them were people that listen to the Dirtbags podcast outside of Detroit Lakes. I just am so excited to keep pushing into that and pushing multiple people and giving them the opportunity to give to a place that like they can feel the impact. And we're just all so lucky and blessed as business owners. You know, obviously most of us have been on both sides of like having a job.
Yeah, it looked like a blast. And again, I'm sorry I missed it this year, but I was watching the stories. I'm like, I'm there in spirit.
Hell yeah, dude.
Because you guys, what, 40,000, right?
Yeah, $40,000. Last year we did 30,000. 2022 we did 20,000, and then the first year ever we did 6,000. So that was
exciting.
And yeah, and I guess, you know, for people listening too, like, the first year I still wasn't paying myself at Phaser. It was my side hustle, but just bringing people together to like help donate. That's how we raised the 6K, and that's how we've raised all the money since. And so you don't have to be some rich and famous person to start giving and giving back. And I think, you know, I learned that early on from a lot of my family members too. And it's like, you can make an impact. Even if you can't write the check yourself, you can still make a big impact on your community or, you know, whatever else you believe in.
Absolutely. And it's just fun to like see where we started to where we were a year ago to where we are now to where we can be. So yeah, there's no like, you can't I feel like it would be very tough to come up with like a business plan for a podcast and follow that plan directly. Like, you could
Dude,
come up with
you
ideas, but
can't.
there's no way that it would stay on the original course, you know?
Yeah. Dude, that's a good point, actually. I was thinking about this the other day. So Dirtbags University. So for people listening, might be wondering, like, there hasn't been one in a while. Luke and I are reimagining what that looks like.
Yeah.
And reimagining what Dirtbags University is and what it's going to be. So we're super excited for that. Nothing is coming out yet, but the structure of it will change. So to remind people that haven't been there, it was a webinar. We'd jump on. It was a closed off webinar. So you'd pay $20 to be there. We'd bring in a speaker and they'd speak to us. Usually we'd have 50 to 60 dirtbags in there. We'd listen to the speaker for about 45 minutes, and then we'd have 45 minutes for a live Q&A. And so we would get to walk through your certain scenario. And for example, we had Scott Pieper on one talking about cash flow and construction. So somebody would come on during the Q&A session, and they would walk through their whole business situation and what they should do. And then Scott, you, and myself would kind of help walk them through that and answer it. But I'm excited to kind of hash out some new ideas for how we can get more people involved with that. And I don't know what that looks like yet, but potentially getting rid of the paywall as well.
100%. And then just the value that it brings to trying to come up with, it's hard for everybody has very similar problems, but they're on different scales. So it's like, how can you reach the masses and talk about one problem in different depths of that problem?
Yeah, I'll say that is probably one thing that we struggled with Dirtbags University is, yeah, is exactly that. Like, you have an hour and a half. We've put a lot of time into setting this up and to getting this, getting everyone there, getting people to pay. And it's a lot of time, it's a lot of commitment. And then how do you give everyone there the value that they deserve? And that's hard in webinar form, but in podcast form, it's easy because we just hit record and you can listen to it if you want. If you don't, you don't have to. So
100%.
that'll be an interesting nut to crack. But I do love the idea behind the education-based sector of the Dirtbags podcast. And maybe those are just episodes where we have that speaker on, but then we publish it to the masses.
Absolutely. Yeah, not a bad idea. Maybe it could be like a YouTube series or something, you know?
Oh, yeah, we could just do like go live or something on YouTube. But then have the recording after, because we also got a lot of people asking for the recording, and our thing was is,
Gotta
you
be
got to
there.
show, you got to be there, you got to show up, which is great because a lot of people would show up. But then now what I'm realizing is we have people that just started listening today, and they're like, "What is this Dirtbags University thing? How can I access Will Schuler's presentation?" It's like
Well, you can't.
that was a year ago. You can't, but you also didn't have the opportunity. Because you didn't know any of us existed.
So yeah, just opening those doors, and like we said, it's pivoting. Oh, how we try to go about thing, and obviously an emphasis on hearing from everybody listening on what they want to listen to more of or what they want to get out of it more. Because again, you and I can ramble like this all day long, but the
This is
podcast
easy.
is, it's absolutely easy, but it's meant to bring value somehow to people listening.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, and that's the fun part about it is like this, I think when I was thinking about you saying the business plan for a podcast is it shouldn't be your main business
100%.
until it can be, if that makes sense. So if you go into starting a podcast thinking that that is going to be your salary, like you probably shouldn't do it and you're probably doing it for the wrong reason, but you can absolutely get there. Like our podcast, we started as an LLC from day one. And we make money, we have expenses, but we're profitable every single month. But if it was just my business, or just if this is my only job, I
We'd be
would,
living in cardboard boxes.
oh yeah, there wouldn't be much.
So it's like you said, it's not a full time until it is. It isn't until it is.
Yep,
But
until you can make it turn into that.
and
So,
what brings that is the consistency.
yeah, absolutely. And yeah, dude, just being consistent and always, showing up, but always having new shit too to talk about. And that's where the last few Dirt Tales guests we've had, even like Sam Custer with Custer Earthworks, his was really cool because he dove into a lot of the profit first for contractors because he's implemented that in his business. And so it's been really cool. I've gotten a few calls on that already of people asking more about like, or taking their numbers a bit more seriously, I should say, of just like, maybe I should go through with my accountant and figure out, are we making money on our pump truck, for example? Like when we're septic pumping, are we even making money? Do I even know? How, because now with all the prices rising to dump and all this stuff, and maybe your customers are down, those are numbers you should just know with, especially in your company of the different services you offer. There might be a service that is totally unprofitable or not worth the profit that you're making.
It's funny you bring that up because that's like us in residential right now. I don't think we're making a whole lot of money doing it, but it helps cash flow at times. But it's like, why are we almost working for free at that point too? you know, it's a double-edged sword, because if we didn't have
Yeah.
flowers, then we wouldn't have to pay for them. If we didn't have that material, we wouldn't have to pay for them. But yeah, so sit down with your accountants and figure out your numbers. We just implemented a new CFO, and he is ripping us apart, which I cannot wait. We do
Dude, that's
monthlies, we do weeklies, all these new different softwares for tracking. So that's something new that we didn't talk about, but I'm
Is your
anxious about.
CFO in-house, or how does that work?
So he calls himself a briefcase CFO, right?
Sweet.
Super cool. So that's what his business is like injecting himself into that position with your
Yep.
business. He's built a team around it, and he's basically like a full-time CFO, right? He's there, but he's not. That's his business to do that, to get your numbers right. So, yeah, very, very excited to, we're going on month two with him right now. And so we're just kind of getting out of the implementation phase, and now we're
Yep.
going to get into like actually doing the shit. So
Yeah.
I'm
Is there
excited.
a point where you won't need him, or is he going to be there long term?
I hope he's here long term.
Gotcha. Cool.
There's our controller, Becky. Her husband owns a very successful wedding venue and a custom wood shop in the area, and he is their briefcase CFO as well. Swears by him. He Luke, I will never get rid of him. I will always have him on, because he is
Love
that
that.
like detailed, and that just like, if there's one transaction out of place, he's calling him up like, where the fuck is this supposed to go? Who is this? You know, like it's insane.
Would that be very similar? So would this be technically he's like a 1099 then?
Yes,
He has his own business and
it's a 1099. I think I can say it. The company's name is Prime Numbers. They're based out of Fargo, right? The guy came from
sweet.
the banking world. He's a certified CPA, and then he started this business, basically. Yeah, and he's known around this area as being the briefcase CFO. But
That's awesome.
he's very he doesn't work with everybody. So I feel
Yep.
honored that he took us on, but I think he takes on the companies that need the most help. So that's also a double-edged sword. So I'm like, wow, I'll take it as a compliment.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely a compliment because you also have the most opportunity, especially when your numbers are all out of whack. And I mean that's how our business kind of was. It wasn't that bad, but it was my commitment year was to dial all of that in. So since January, I've been really learning gross profit, net operating income, net profit. I know every dollar that comes in, every dollar that goes out, but it's in a way where I don't have to be in there every single day. And so it's really just building out a lot of those reports and understanding what's coming in, what's going on, where's our targets too. I think a lot of times for us business owners, we know what's coming in, what's going out, but we don't have any targets of where we're trying to go and how to get there.
And it's forecasting is a big thing, because you know, in my world right now, it's th net 30 is no longer a thing where I'm at. You know, it's a 60 to 90 days. Okay, so how are you going to survive with that 60 to 90 day pay periods? You know, that's our big emphasis right now. So we're not scrambling like, who can we collect from this week to make payroll type thing. So
Yeah, man, I love it.
yeah, so I'm anxious to get him rolling. And yeah, we just our accountants last year, you know, nothing against them. I think that they're a franchise accounting firm, and they just don't know construction. So
Yeah.
nothing against them, but it was time for that business to move on and get more expertise.
Yep. I mean, that's you look at every stage of business when you grow and you scale. And it's yeah, like you said, it's not a knock on them. It's just to fit where you guys are and where you're going, it's just not the right fit.
100%. 100%. So, but yeah, that's a change. On our end, work is good. Work is busy. Guys are hammering away. Obviously, I don't want to say it's the tail end of the season here, but I have a feeling we're
Yep.
going to have a pretty early winter. You can already
Oh,
tell
yeah.
the contractors are getting a little worried about projects and making sure that everything's in so they can continue building throughout the year. But yeah, man, we're just having fun. Cole and I are wearing a bunch of hats right now. Hats
Yeah.
that, you know, maybe we don't want to wear, but guess what? That's what we signed up for.
Yeah.
So,
Is and Cole, is he's still running Anderson Yard Works?
yes, he still owns it. I think he's got some guy internally that's kind of
Gotcha.
taken majority of that over now. Because, I mean, him and I will have conversations at midnight talking about,
Yeah,
you know,
right.
certain things for the Western side. So I'm like, there's no fucking way that you have any time for Anderson.
Right. Yeah, and last time I talked to him too, and or maybe just has his systems dialed in, and they have somebody running those. And but yeah, dude, I mean, you guys got a lot of fun things going on, but also, yeah, it's. Do you think the year has panned out the way you expected it to?
Work-wise, yes. I think the obstacles thrown at us, I couldn't have guessed, but they're great learning experiences.
For sure.
Because I would rather learn them now than later.
Yeah.
You know, I would say we're a valuable company, but where we want to go, it would suck a lot more if something were to happen then compared to not, you know, going through it now. We wouldn't have such, we don't have such a big target on our back, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. No, that definitely does. I feel like, you know, I feel like guys go through that in the earlier too, and that's how they break through and get to that point. And you obviously have big goals, and but you're also, you know, you and I are still in our late 20s, so we have, not that we need to accomplish it right now, but we don't want to slow down either. And so I think the more we can break things, the more we can learn, the better it's gonna, you know, help us out in our 30s and 40s and as the businesses keep growing.
100%. It was, I'm not about like manifesting. Like I'm for like speaking positive and you'll get positivity back, like that type of thing. But like speaking things into existence, I don't know. There's been some weird coincidences through this year that, and one of them is like, I don't remember who I was having the conversation with, but we were talking about like breaking points. Like, what is your breaking point? And I'm like, honestly, I don't know. I have not been to a point to where I can break, I feel like. You know, not that I'm unbreakable, but I'm like, I haven't reached that yet. And I swear to God, God's like, buckle up, buddy. We're going to test you. We haven't broke yet, but there's been some interesting things that have happened this year to where it's like, holy fuck. Yeah. Glad I got through that one. Hopefully we're good for a little while until something else comes. Then the next thing.
Oh, man. But that is crazy. Yeah, I bet God's just like giving you that lesson plan of like, hey, don't forget who's in control here.
100%. 100%. So that's, you know, and if you look at it that way, you can get through anything. Nothing's permanent. Everything's temporary. There's a solution to everything. You just have to find it, from what I found.
Man. Yeah, it's crazy to think back too of like, for me and for you too, of just like, it'd be so hard for us to go back to like having a job from all the stuff we've learned and gone through and everything. It's just like, I love running businesses and just like the craziness and the roller coaster of everything. And it isn't even a 1/100th of like what you guys go through.
Dude, business is business. There's obstacles in everybody's business, right? Again, it goes back to like problems. Everybody has the same problems on different scales.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have you been keeping in touch with those guys? You guys are going hog hunting.
We haven't. Year? We want to. We haven't made a final plan. But yeah, we've got our group chat. We've got our Snap group and then our text group. And I mean, usually daily, I hear from somebody in there. So it's fun to keep tabs. And like there's Mondays. Yeah. Well, you know, Taylor will shoot us a text and be like, fucking happy Monday, boys. Kick her in the, you know, kick her in the teeth or something. And then something will happen on Monday and, you know, it's a bad thing. We're like, fucking happy Monday. And then it's just encouragement from the other. So that group text has been, it's been fun. It's been good to talk with those guys. And I encourage other people in the industry to like get to know others and try to do that same thing. Cause that helps a lot.
Yeah. I think one thing it really helps with is when you think this is the worst situation that could ever happen to anyone, you throw that to your group and then you realize like somebody's probably gone through worse and then 100%. They've gotten through it and they're out on the other side. And so you guys all go through these different stages and it's also on different scales, like you said. So, I mean, we might all think we're big companies, but then when you talk to a big company, you're like, we're not.
Yeah, we're not. We're not where you are. So, okay, now I know that this can be fixed. What are, you know, how can I fix this? Which is, you know, it's very tough if you feel like you're alone. So that's where it's good to have positivity around you. People that have gone through the same thing, you know, they don't even have to be mentors. They can be just friends at different areas in business than you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've got obviously a great business partner in Cole. And I think that's something to bring up where if you're at this point, it doesn't mean you need to go get a business partner, but just getting a group of people together that do something similar to what you do. And obviously, I think going outside of your local area makes so much sense because we talked about this on one podcast, but you can only give so much away if you're talking to somebody that does exactly what you do in the same area. So I think it's very important to talk to other people that do what you do, but are so far removed from your area that, you know, you can tell each other everything.
I just been fiddling with my wedding ring and I just lost it. So sorry, Riley, if you're listening to this podcast,
Uh-oh.
I'll find it later.
Down the vent.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, definitely good to get a group that is positive and, you know, can shed light and perspective on hardships and even like just feedback of like, hey, try this. Oh, I never thought
Yeah.
about that, you know? So that's always good. But yeah, man, no business
Yeah.
is
Do you guys ever
good.
use? Yeah. The Do you guys ever use Construct Connect?
Construct Connect.
Yeah.
Like there's a couple, I think we have it, but I can't remember even what it does. I think it's like a bid website, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, we've been using that a little bit more for some of our clients, and they've really been liking it, but I think a lot of guys are going from residential that want to break into commercial. Seems like it's a good platform to start bidding on some work.
Sure. Yeah. Those are good sites to obviously get your name out to get invitations. Because there, I mean, there's in our area, there's 10 of them that you can sign up for, and you know, you can pay and oh, get the exclusive of like what's to come. And I'm like, no, I don't really care.
Yeah.
We're to a point to where we have good relationships with a lot of our general contractors, and they're just going to continue to send us what they have. And
Yeah.
hopefully we can supplement our work with those contractors. If we can't, then yeah, then we look to, you know, the bid forms, the builders exchange websites, things like that.
Yeah, I
There's
suppose so much of it, and you've talked about this a lot too, of just like building relationships, and sometimes you have to get your foot in the door with those relationships, but if you can, and then knock it out of the park for them and make sure that you are a valuable resource to them, then you can just continue to get the work. Unless it's, you know, some of the jobs like state and federal, it's just the lowest bidder. But a lot of the GCs, they actually need quality contractors to work with.
Yeah. Speaking of like contractors and work, you know, I hear both ends of the spectrum. I heard there's, you know, in different areas, some guys are really slow, some guys are really busy. I just think it kind of depends on the area. I don't think it's a specific to like the industry at all. But we've been in a situation this last, we'll call it month, to where we're booked up. We're no longer bidding work. We're looking to 2025 right now. But we have contractors calling us because we'll present numbers.
Yep.
And just to hopefully see where we lie kind of on the historical data for the bid tabs. And there's some to where we're the only bidder because everybody else is booked up. And so we'll retract our bids and say, no, sorry, we can't take this. But then we'll get offers of like, well, what if you do, you know, what if you take the contract at $150,000 over the value or you do
Yeah.
this? I've never experienced anything like that. So I'm like, that is a whole new world. How can I cater that? But then also at the same time, I don't want to take on too much to where I screw over a contractor that we're working with or that we have a current contract with and hinder that relationship. So that's something new on our end that we're kind of dealing with.
Yeah, that's so interesting because I'm sure you haven't gone through anything like that
No.
in your history of running the business. So it's like, and you have to look at the whole situation, right? Because it's you might get the big eyes of like the numbers are there, but then can your team sustain that? And also your equipment, like do you have equipment that you can bring out there and can you get it done on time? But like you mentioned there too, are you pulling value away from the current job that you're on, and is that going to affect that relationship and that job and deadline?
It's a balancing act of the money and the relationship. Which one matters more? You know, could you take on that additional contract and suffer through it and probably get it done? Yeah. But what is that going to tarnish on the opposite end of the spectrum with the contractor? And maybe you didn't get all the work executed that you were supposed to. You know, are they going to be as loyal to you as they have been? Probably not.
Yeah, or if God forbid something goes wrong on one of
Yeah.
the sites, which
Yeah, what are you gonna
always
do?
happens.
Yeah. And it's, you know, where we're at, no, but if you're looking for guys in July, you're not gonna get them. because people at that time, they're going to stay with their current companies. They're going to ride out the end of the season because they want their bonus. There's a lot of worry in the industry. If they come on late, then they're not going to get bonused. And, in our world, bonuses are a huge incentive for the guys because they put a lot of hours in. But yeah, if you're looking in our area at that time, you're not going to find them. No one's going to
Yeah.
jump ship. And the ones that are, look into them maybe a little bit more because there's probably a reason. Not saying that they're bad, but
Yeah.
look for some red flags.
Yeah. How do bonuses typically work in this industry? And obviously you don't have to speak on your company, but is it usually like a percentage or a set dollar amount per employee, or is it kind of scale up depending on what position they hold usually?
I think it depends on the company and it depends on the position, right? There's
Yeah.
I've heard people that bonus laborers different than operators, operators different than foremen, foremen different than project managers, and that's how their company works. And that's also like an incentive to try to grow with the company. I've heard that everybody just gets like a flat bonus of like, there's a company called Dakota, and they're famous for, I'm pretty sure it's the laborers, operators. I don't know if foremen are in that, but like a vast majority of them, they get 14 to 16 grand at the end of the year. Just here you go. Thanks for showing up. Thanks for
Oh, yeah.
working with us. Hopefully see you next year, So everybody knows Dakota for that. It could be more now. I don't know, but everybody's different. So
Yeah.
I think it just depends on the company type, the industry that you're in, and your profitability, obviously. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, yeah, also like where you're located, because a place down in, Arizona, it might not be at the end of the year. It might be different, different timing too. So, yeah, I think that's interesting of just like how do you keep people around, but how do you keep them like incentivized, and is it all about money? Obviously not always, but that is a piece I know that a good chunk of people go chase around, so.
And it's part of the industry, so that's what people know. Construction is incentive, incentive, incentive. So that's what they look for.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank right now, but there is a couple comments on one of our videos that I think was taken horribly out of context.
Oh yeah, that guy, if he listens to this, what a fucking idiot. Go back to Luke's TikTok page. This guy, I think his comment was like, pay your guys as much as the owner. And
Yep,
maybe
it's
then,
something like that.
maybe then they'll show up to work. And I'm like, some of them probably make more than the owner. Going
Yeah,
back to that
it.
podcast that we had of like, what is the owner pay themselves? And everybody, we had a great influx of like, oh, I pay myself this. Some guys were at 50 grand, some guys were at 70 grand, some guys were at 100 grand. But that 100 grand, I'm going to dial back to 70 because I don't feel like we were profitable enough.
Yeah.
So
And
yeah, they probably maybe make more than the owner. Obviously, the owner has power over the finances and they can delegate things, they can take draws or whatever, but what a fucking dumb comment.
I
When I
think
saw that, I'm like, dude, you are an idiot.
I sent you a screenshot because I knew you'd get fired up with it. But essentially the video is talking about the owner obviously taking the risk and building the company through the years, and that it's okay for the owner to eventually make more than the employees,
Yeah.
and that's
Why you start
okay.
a business?
Yeah, that's why you start a business. And then I think the comment, yeah, is like, you just pay the owner should make the same as your employees did stick around or something like that. And I just sent it to you. I figured I'd let you take care of my light work there.
Yeah, what a fucking moron. So hopefully he's listening to that podcast because you, sir, I don't even, yeah, I'll just leave it at that. Just what a fucking idiot.
Yeah,
But
I think it was a TikTok clip, so he might not be a listener.
yeah, well, we should reply to that video with just
With
that
this.
little with that little clip and tag him.
That's a good idea. I like
Yeah.
it.
But speaking of like incentives, kind of going on a topic here, but people also have to realize that money isn't the only incentive for people. And I think that gets lost in translation, and that might be a little bit tougher to do in
Yeah.
construction just because of how many variables there are and how many different situations. So, but that's something that owners need to start taking account into as well, is what other things can I incentivize other than a paycheck, other than a nice pickup, other than I don't know, you know, something other than that, you know, quality of life is one that I think of. Experience, job opportunities, career opportunities, you know, growth with the company. What does that look like? Do you have that painted
Yeah.
out? You know, I think those are very important, but awfully often overlooked as well.
Yeah. And I think too, just, you know, we talk a lot about pivoting and being agile, but always doing your best to listen to, you know, and not just giving what you think is going to make them happy. Like, oh, I'll just give them a 10K a year raise. And a lot of times that might make them very happy. Sometimes they might not care and they would rather that 10K a year go into something else as a benefit or something else that could, you know, really help them out. So that was surprising to me. Just, you know, kind of learning that not everyone's motivated through a paycheck.
Yeah.
And also too, like once you take out the taxes, once you take out 401k, you know, all that stuff and you put it on a 2 week, twice a week paycheck, like it's not that much more money, even on like a 10K a year raise and things like that. So I think just making sure that we can hear the employees and you're listening and you're always like trying to pivot and make sure that like, okay, what we're providing, no matter what, will make the business successful, but it will make these people happy to be here. Cause the business has to work. The business has to be profitable no matter what.
Yeah.
Otherwise everyone's out of a job.
Well, the business has to offer an incentive for others. It can't just offer an incentive for the owner. Andy talked about this on one of his podcasts. He goes, I had a good business when it incentivized me, but I had a great business when it incentivized everybody else. I'm like, that's a really good point, because if it incentivizes everybody else, obviously the business is going to do good, because then everybody is reaping something from it, you know, but they're putting in their time. They're putting in what is needed to do that in order to achieve what they want as well. Kind of a cool thought.
Yeah. And just getting that buy-in from your crew, because yeah, you can only do so much by yourself, obviously. And I think probably a lot of people listening too, they're, you know, maybe they are a bit smaller or they just started or they have a couple employees and they want to get to that next level. But I think you have to define what that next level is and why you want to go there before you just assume that you want to grow. And we've talked about that a few times as well, of just, you're not just adding employees just to add employees. You're not just trying to grow so that you can show, you know, more things on your website or show more people on your website. It's like, there's got to be a mission and a driving factor, and also like a calculated strategy to like, yeah, we want to get to this point. We want to do our best to get here. Sometimes it just happens and you're growing without even knowing it. But I think some people want to grow for the wrong reason. And just because everyone else is.
Method to the madness. Have that method, right? You grow organically. Don't grow inorganically. Don't grow forced. What is the saying? It's fast is slow. Oh, fuck, I don't even remember what it is. I think it's like fast is slow, slow is steady, and steady wins the race, or something like that. I mean, that's right.
It's got to be it. That sounds great.
Yeah, I'm fucking terrible at quotes on the spot, but pretty sure it's something along those lines. And it is true. You know, don't be the rabbit, be the turtle, man.
And there's so many great young people that reach out to me or reach out to you that just want the whole world right now. And I love that, but it's also like, you know, there's so many more years of business that you have ahead of yourself. Like, don't jeopardize all of that just because you want something now. So yeah, just being the hare, like doing things step by step. There's gonna be seasons of your business and of your life where it feels like you're skipping multiple steps, and then you'll need to go back and kind of repave those. But always kind of going back to the basics, the fundamentals, simplicity, and running your business that way, because I think the more complex you get, the harder it gets. And so how can you simplify things so that everyone's on the same page?
Yeah. Simplicity is bliss. That's another one, I'm pretty sure, right?
It's gotta be, dude.
It's gotta be. Yeah. I'm just pulling these off of my quote.
I'm sure Liz has that on like an oven towel rack or something.
Dude, probably, she probably got it on a towel or something. I don't know. But I want to say Mark used to say that, my dad. Simplicity, something.
I mean, and also too, simple scales.
Yep.
That's a big, business term too, but I've
Plan your
talked
work
about
and work your plan. That's one I remember he always used to say.
Yeah, I've talked about it too, just like taking one thing in your business right now, take one thing at a time and just tearing it apart, and how can you simplify it to the max? And then once that's done, once that's buttoned up, go to the next thing. And I know you've gone through many stages of that with, it might be finances, it might be your estimating, it might be your job costing or utilization rates and like everything. You just got to go through them one at a time. It's not all going to get done all at once. So
what you think you know, flip it 180 degrees, relearn it, and then flip it back. And then you'll have a better gauge of like, oh, that's how that fucking works. That's what I feel like this year was a bunch of flipping.
Right.
Just like, I think of like a pancake just getting tossed in the air. And that's us as a business. Like, oh, you got to learn this. Oh, we got to relearn this. Back to this side.
Yeah. And just, yeah, re-implementing. And I heard you say that, I think it was with your CFO, but just like the implementation phase, like we've all gone through so many of those phases of like, you learn the system. Now we're implementing the system. We're getting trained up. We're excited. And it's like, how can we, like stick to it well enough and get all the juice out of that squeeze and make sure that we're using it to the best of our ability? Because a lot of us get very excited with certain things. A CRM always comes to my mind, like a new CRM, everyone gets excited about, and then we implement it, we go with it, and then we don't use it, or it kind of falls off the back burner. Then we go to the next one. And I think it is as useful and as valuable as the time you put into it and the way you use it. And so every platform is good. You just have to use it and continuously use it and be consistent with it.
Consistency is the big word, right? Bringing it back to the podcast. You won't have a podcast if you're not consistent, or if you're not putting out relatable content. Same with your business. If you're not being consistent, if you're not doing the work, if you're not performing, you won't have a business.
And yeah, and you can relate that too with like employees too. Like if people listening that are employees, like the more consistent you can be, man, you're gonna fire up that ladder so quickly, because that's one of the toughest things as in business owners to find consistency within your company. Yep. And when somebody has that, and usually that falls into leadership eventually as well, if they can be consistent and just show up every single day, and I mean, you can go so far.
Absolutely, you can. And there's a lot of opportunity in the workplace right now. You just have to show up, work for it, and be consistent.
Yeah. What do you think next year is going to look like? You think anything's going to change, economy wise, business wise, labor wise?
Dude, it's hard to say. Everybody said that it's an election year, right? So that could bring, we'll see. Next year could be very interesting depending on who is elected into office, right? What policies get placed. It could be, I'm hoping for the best outcome. You know, if it's anything like this year, I think it's going to be another great year. I don't set revenue goals because I feel like that limits us this year. We focused a lot about like the type of jobs that we bid on compared to bidding on anything and everything and hoping we get them. This year, we kind of have our realm of what we want to do and our, you know, our skill level of our crews. So we'll take that in the next year and hopefully increase, you know, our revenue, increase our profits. Guys, you know, obviously you want to keep good guys around. So how can we help incentivize them? So it's hard to like come up with what next year looks like, because it's such like a, our business is such like a month to month type structure.
Yeah,
because there's for sure. just, there's just so many different angles that get thrown at you. So how about you guys?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, it'll be so interesting. So somebody asked me this today. I would say it's more so on the residential side. A lot of residential guys in the industry I'm seeing are a lot slower. And a lot of it probably is to a few factors of the economy, election year. It seems like people are just holding onto their money a little tighter, want to see how it plays out. That's not a new thing. I mean, that's happened before. So, but it actually helps our business in a weird way, because people can't just rely on their phone always ringing and things always being good.
Yep.
So as much as I want to see everyone succeed, it actually helps our business when things do innovate and evolve, and people are starting to, like, even some newer companies and some younger people, even like yourself, when they start excelling and the good old boys club doesn't always work anymore, that is good for us. And so we are at a point in our company. So we've, and I don't know if you and I have talked about this much, but we've pivoted quite a bit. And so we, just with our team, historically, we've always been myself and a full-time employee, Josie, and then a lot of 1099 contractors that have worked with me a long time. In March, we had one full-time employee, and today we have seven full-time employees.
Good for you guys.
So in the last 5 or 6 months, we've basically brought everything in-house, and it's actually increased our margins and increased our productivity for our clients. And so basically we are ready to kind of rescale up again. And I'm super excited for that, because usually in the summertime, we'll kind of just grow steadily because everyone's so busy anyway. But the fall and the wintertime, people kind of take a look at their business and they look at where they thought they were going to go this year and where they ended up, and also where they want to go next year in the next 10 years. So it's going to be, our plan is for it to be a nice, exciting fall and winter where we're going to put some money into marketing for ourselves, which we rarely do, and really work on scaling up from there.
That's exciting. Do you have like a goal of how many companies you want to try to work with next year, or how many you want to try to like any achievements that way, or not? Just take it as they come and hoping for the best.
Yeah, that's a good question. So we, I would say, so this year we had a goal of 84 clients, and we'll definitely come far short of that. But we'll probably end up somewhere in like the 65 total clients, and which is great. Like, we're super happy with where we're at. And it's kind of like what you were saying too. Like, we do have a revenue goal, but it's also like not the end all be all, because we can also be very profitable, and we want to make sure we're working with the right people. And so we, there's definitely clients we could take on and get to that number, but we don't want to, because it's not part of our, part of our core values and our business plan. Yeah. So, I'd say for next year, my main goal is, you know, building out our internal systems like we have been this year, but then scaling up just the value that we can provide, to our clients. And I've realized the more we focus on our current clients, the more outside people come in and want to work with us. So it's almost the opposite. Like, I think some agencies, they focus on everyone else and don't spend any time on their current clients. And then they end up having churn and clients leaving, and they just can't, you know, it's like a dog chasing its tail. They can't figure out why they can't get it. So I think the more we've been focusing on our current clients, the more that's really helped. So I'd say, next year, I think I'm just going to round it off. Like, a goal would be awesome to hit 100 clients total by the end of next year. And there's no rhyme or reason behind that. It's just, you know, impact on the industry. And, if we're working with that many companies, we know that, they're happy with us, and we're doing something good for the industry.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's been fun to watch you grow, and just the culture that you've built around the companies that you work with too. You can definitely tell they stand out compared to some others. I'm not saying that any company is better than others, but you can just definitely tell, like, happiness, and like, you see them involved with different social media things. You see them posting more, you see them just engaging a lot more. So that's fun to see.
Yeah. And dude, that was crazy with the, you know, the funders, like we're talking earlier, I think we had like 6 or 8 of our own clients, you know, like step up and offered a sponsor and like give money. And so that is when I really realized too, like last year, that we've got something special where people that are paying us, just a marketing company, like do their stuff, but they want to also help out with the fundraiser and like the bigger mission and everything we're doing. So, but other than that, man, it's just like continuing to, I've become more of a people manager than anything, which you did a lot earlier on. And it's a fun transition. It's a lot different than I expected, but, it's been really empowering and cool to see like our team members step up and become leaders themselves, which I didn't think I would enjoy as much as I am. And, so I really want to not give them the keys to the business, but essentially like let them run it, because it's been in really good hands with them so far, and let me take care of more of like the where are we going in the next 5 years, yep. And let them take care of the day-to-day stuff.
Yeah, letting go of the micromanaging mentality, I think, is huge in business today.
Yeah,
you can't be over everybody's shoulder criticizing what they do, because there's more than one way to skin a cat, and there's more than one way to do something or do a task, and somebody might know more than we do in that sense. So it's nice to let them have that creative freedom and know they have that trust to, yeah, this is my task, I got to get it done.
Yeah. And I've gotten to talk, you know, with Doug Castles of BlackRock a lot about this kind of stuff. And I think we're going to have him on a Dirt Tales episode, because we're going to dive into some stuff. But he, yeah, just like that, you know, he's kind of right in the middle of like having a team and then, you know, kind of not having a team and then having a team. And like, how can he start to let go of some of that and, yep. Yeah, not micromanage? And so I was just talking to him today and the new operator, and he's like, Luke, I'm exhausted today, but today was the first time I wasn't sitting in a machine all day.
That's
like, dude, that's
it's a good step.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. And so, but then it's like, how do you create the consistency where, you know, they stay there? Doug's iconic first episode, I think, paint the picture. It's, yep. Or that was his second episode. It's like, it can be good for the short term, but how do you make it great for the long term? And that's probably one of the trickiest mysteries that we're all trying to solve as business owners. But if you can kind of build that culture, but also just that vision and like letting go of the some of the day-to-day stuff that you just can't physically do for the rest of your life, if you want a growing company.
Yeah. The painting the picture topic is a good one too, and we can save this one for another podcast, but you need your team members to help paint that picture for them specifically. You can have a company picture, but then each individual yeah. person should have their own picture and what leads up to that. You know, I had a conversation with a couple of our employees and we talked about exactly that, where the what he said was, the cookie is great, I can see that, but the crumbs almost hold the same value. I thought that was really cool, because like, people forget about the crumbs and people talk about it in a business all the time. Oh, I'm either going to get the crumbs and everybody else is going to get the cookie, whatever. Could be an employee based thing. It could be an employer based thing. But looking at it in the way of, there needs to be that big picture, the overall, the cookie, but then what are the steps that you would specifically like to see as an individual to get to this bigger picture or the cookie? So that's something that was kind of new, a new way of looking at it, of like, yeah. I can paint a picture all day long, but my picture is going to be completely different of what your picture is. Yeah. Give me what yours looks like. And then as the owner, it is my job within the business to pivot to make sure we are creating that for you within the business and making sure the business is creating those opportunities. And then it's my job to make sure the business has the opportunity to create those for them.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, before we started too, it's like, you know, what are your crumbs? Like, yeah. I might know what the cookie is, but like, what are your crumbs to get there? Cause it's going to be so different. And
yeah, you specifically, that is, what are those crumbs to yes. you? Yeah.
Yeah. And that you can't figure that out yourself. No, sorry. You as the owner can't figure out your employees' crumbs and those steps.
Correct. That has to come from the individual. And same with the cookie, right? They'll have their picture or the overall goal, and that's your cookie, but you got to give me what those crumbs look like for you too, to help achieve that big goal or to keep you motivated and create this for, you know, to become a career or to become, you know, a long-term thing for you. What does that look like? Again, I can't create that for you. You couldn't create that for me. That is individually based.
Yeah. So how do you pull that out of people as the owner? Because what if they say, I don't know what my crumbs are? And then what?
I think nobody's going to have them just off the cuff. I think that's something yeah. that they got to think about. And in my head, I see it as like a 10-year thing, right? Your 5 and 10 are your milestone years. What are the 1, 2, 3, and 4s that are mm-hmm. very achievable within a year to make that can build up to that 5 year? And then the 6, 7, 8, 9s that can build up to the 10.
Gotcha.
And then say they are there that 10 years. Now it's time to expand even further to what that looks like. It could be career based, it could be personal based, it could be incentive based, it could be, whatever it looks like. Oh, hey, I would really like some more time. Or man, Luke, I would kill to go on a snowmobiling trip in the winter. How can I do that? Fuck yeah. Okay, let's figure that out. Something, So.
Gotcha. So yeah, start with that main goal, then backtrack from there. I mean, yeah, it's just like setting any kind of goal, but using a different analogy. And so, you got to have that main goal, and then it's like, okay, now let's backtrack. How do we get you there? Because it's not going to be instant, like you said. If, or maybe somebody says, I want to be making 150K a year. Okay, at what point? Because if you're at 60 right now, I can't just jump you up to 150. So, if you want to get that in 5 years, let's talk about that game plan. Because now you can do anything in 5 years, and so
100%.
that about and. What does year one look like for, like you said, where do we need to get you to, but also what accomplished to get there? And that's just like the incentivized or the money one.
Yeah. So that's something new that we're going to try and obviously really try to heavily implement going into next year is trying to figure out people's paths and then their motivators, what they want for incentives, and then try to gear the company around those to help the guys achieve what they want as well. Because again, it's not just about Cole or I, it's about people
Yeah.
within the company.
You guys doing another Christmas party?
Oh yeah, we'll do another Christmas party. We don't know what yet. I know we'll do giveaways, we'll give more trips and try to do fun things like that. Cause that was, I think people enjoyed that and just, an extra incentive. But I want it to be more geared to what people want as well. Yeah, I just have fun. We probably won't. We went to a country club last year and ate at the country club with golf simulators. I think this year we're just gonna go to a fucking haggard out bar and just rent the bar out and let everybody drink their Coors and Bud Lights and get their smash burgers because that's definitely more their speed.
For sure.
So we'll see. But yeah.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because not what you think people would like isn't always right. And it's so funny how you bring that up because I know a lot of the guys on your team, and it's like, if you ask me if they cost the exact same, would I rather be at a country club golfing or would I rather be at the us, Southtown Poorhouse,
All of
rent
them are
out
going
the
to
whole
freaking
place
freestyle town
with eight
warehouse.
blackjack tables and Coors Lights? Probably that one. So it's
100%.
it and that's actually probably where I would want to be too. But
Same.
that's awesome, dude. You could even have them like involved in some of the planning. Like, I don't know if
Yeah.
that's
We
possible too, but
want
just
our leadership team to be this year because last year we kind of Cole and I put it together with Becky's help, but now we want their opinions and all of that involved to where we can really kind of encompass it and make it better than last year. And then same with the following year. So, but yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. What do you have positions on your leadership team? Like, what roles would those encompass?
So like we have a project manager and then our operations manager and then myself and Cole. And that's what we consider like our leadership because on certain, we've made a lot of standards this last year. And on certain decisions, we've opted to take votes on things. Like we vote collectively if we're firing somebody, right? What is, say it's a 3-to-1 vote on something and hey, no longer here. Well, that's the vote that has to be honored, So I think it helps make it more involved for people. And our Cole and I's goal is obviously as the owners that we can wean out of that. To where we can get to a spot to really define that leadership team, and then they're building that internally to where they're in sense running the business.
Yeah, there's a lot of ownership in that too, of course, of them having a vote. And
100%.
what if it's a 2-2 split?
Then I think it isn't the right decision. And then I think an alternative action has to be done instead of what is proposed. Is how I would pose it. Like it's, say it's a hiring or firing case. Okay, we fire him two. We hire or we keep him two. Okay, what is objective B? Can we have a conversation with him and say if this does not change by said time, then you're gone. right? But if you do change,
do we agree on
then
that?
We will, then we will review, you know, things like that. I think because there's different alternatives for every solution. And I don't think it's as black and white as like a yes or no in that sense, you know? So that's how I would look at it.
Yeah, dude, that's interesting. We're just starting to kind of build our leadership team, and it's, we have myself and then our operations manager and then our director of client success. And so that's helped me a ton with just like, sometimes I don't want to make every decision.
No.
Like there, give me some feedback. What do you guys want to do? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. You don't want to make every decision, and it's nice to piggyback on the leadership because then you're giving them that power to make that decision, but then you can also provide a different perspective and challenge it, or you can agree with it. And then they even feel like, oh fuck, Luke agrees with me. This is easy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, you know, especially for financial things too, like I'll have them run it by me maybe, but if it's like a small thing, like just, we have like a limit. Yeah. If it's a couple $100, just buy it, whatever. They have their own credit cards now, which has really helped. So they just swipe it. I get the text notification. There's no issues. But yeah, if it's something that I need to approve, it's a quick ask. And if we need to vote on something, like we've never really had to do much of that, but we definitely could if needed.
I think the vote definitely helps with the involvement because then people think that they are getting a say, which they are.
Yeah.
You know, and it just kind of helps with that culture of like team oriented culture, you know, in an environment to where it's not micromanaged. It's not, you know, me and Cole versus everybody else. Then people aren't involved. So,
yeah. One thing we're doing right now, actually, that is a good point to that. We're hiring another account manager right now, full time. And so we put out the job on LinkedIn, and I'm having Josie and Connor on our team do all the first round, like sorting through the applications and the first round interviews, because the only people I want to talk to are people that they trust and they love and would love to have on our team. So that's been cool because they've taken great ownership in that and they're excited. And really it's kind of their say, because if they don't like somebody and I would have liked them, I won't have even talked to them. So, so that's been really fun to see them go through that. And also we got like over 100 applications in the first few days. So I definitely don't want to sit through those and like sift through those. But so that's taken a lot off my plate, where I used to have to kind of sort through everything and I would just kind of skip to the bottom and pick a couple. So,
dude, that's impressive. 100 apps. Good for you. That's when you know you're doing something right.
Thank you. But it's a different, totally different business though. I mean, we can have people anywhere in the United States, somebody could work with us. And also, like, it's a 40 to 50K a year salary. So it's like not that much, but at the same time too, if it's somebody that is a couple years out of college and they hate their job and they're making like
it's
50 or
base.
60, and they're just like, you know what? I do want to do something I want to do. I'm going to take a chance on Phaser. And so we get a lot of that. And, but that also has been bringing a lot of great people. And so, and honestly too, at 40 to 50K and all the people we're getting, like they're underpaid, and I'm okay to say that, but that has to be my advantage, is they're coming for a different reason, because I can't pay what, you know, UPS is paying or what 100%. All these other corporate companies are paying. So my advantage has to be that, you know, we're a small business with a big mission and we have a lot of other sweet benefits. And then you just got to trust me on the money. Like, we're going to make it right. Maybe not right away, but it's going to come.
Yeah. Well, you got to put your time in, earn your stripes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Fuck yeah. It's fun that we were going to start this podcast out as a Q&A, and then we decided to not do a rant, and we were like, oh, we'll talk about this topic. And then it kind of integrated into both in a way. So again, you can't map those out. It's just off the cuff. And again, you got to have a good partner and you got to be able to work off your partner. So that's fun.
Yeah, dude, I'm just pumped to get back into just recording and pumping out episodes. Like now we're banking up some Dirt Tales. I know you and I just recorded this one. We've got another one we're coming out with. And so it'll be an exciting end of the year. And I'm super stoked for it.
Hell yeah, man. Well, cheers to August and to our season. And I'm looking forward to more content and more conversations and more dirtbags.
Hell yeah, dude.